We've come to the 1st of February. What is it, the 2nd of February now? And traditionally, we wait till February when sort of everyone's back on deck. A lot of people go away January and have a good break, a good time of refreshing. And so 2020 is our Vision Sunday, and I couldn't help but call it 2020 Vision. And I don't even need my glasses on to tell you that. It's big enough. So, Life Church 2020 Vision. And so, just for a little while, I want to just talk to that and then get into just a short sermon following that. So, in this next slide, just want to talk to you about a few things coming up this year that will sort of fit in with the vision that we have. It's interesting the things that have been coming out, just even in what people have been saying. I believe that the more worship and the more prayer that we can have in a church, the better, amen? This year, with our worship nights, we'll be scheduling them in, and there's going to be other times of worship and prayer with the combined churches of Greater Shepparton. But Michelle really felt to call them hunger nights, and that just fit in so well. So when we're advertising a hunger night, it's a worship night, it's a prayer night, it's just an opportunity for you to come and be in the presence of God with some music. And so that's going to be happening this year a bit more regularly than last year. Also, Ryan's had a vision to come in on a lunchtime every week, and whether it's just him or whether it's a band, and have worship that is live streamed to the world every week. And guess what? You don't have to get on your device and watch it. You can if you're working or wherever you are, but you can actually come in here and be part of that as well. And thanks to all the guys that have mounted the camera, we've just got to fix a few sound issues, and we'll let you know when that's about to kick off. And who knows what that could lead to. You know, we've often talked, and some of the guys have had visions about 24-hour prayer houses, and, you know, some of those things happen around the world. But who knows, we could be part of something like that with people from around the world through technology. Who knows? So I encourage you, when that is launched, if you want to be part of that, I want to encourage you. It's going to be amazing. We've got lots of combined churches things, and the unity amongst the ministers and the churches getting together for prayer that has developed over last year is really exciting and encouraging. And so there's going to be those sorts of events. A typical one of that is on the 22nd of February, which is a Saturday night at 7 o'clock, we're going up to Mount Major, like we've done in the past. But it's going to be a bit different. It's going to be a combined churches event. And it's also the National Day of Prayer and Fasting in Australia. So that is going to be just an incredible event to be part of on a bigger scale than we've had before. So keep your eyes open for that one. Each term we're going to have a combined service with the 3 p.m. service. And one of them is coming up in a couple of weeks. They're going to be hosting it. So it's going to be a little bit more like a 3 p.m. service, but it's at 10 a.m. in the morning. And it's just great when you come in here and you have trouble trying to get a car park and trouble trying to get a seat. To me, that's great. So get here early. All right, the Together Conference is coming up in June 12, 13 with the Hagans. And, man, I just think that is an incredible event in the life of our church and in the what it does in the spiritual atmosphere over our region. We've also got the McCrackens, Steve and Sally, coming back in August for a ministry weekend. So they're just great events to look forward to. But out of all those events, I want you to understand that we can't just live our life going from one event to the next event. As blessed as they are and as amazing as they are, and we need those things to, you know, sometimes to refresh and refire us, but that all flows out of the relationship that we have with Jesus that is happening every day. So you can't afford to just live on that if you don't have your own relationship with Him, if you're not having your own devotional times, if all of that needs to flow out of your love and in intimacy with Him. And I want you to understand that every day, 366, that's what it's all about. It's every day. Where's John? John, did you know that this year is a leap year and we actually have 366 days, not 365? Just checking. Excuse me, wardrobe malfunction. 366 days, one extra this year. So all that flows out of your intimate personal relationship with Jesus. Okay. Right, and next slide. Moving right along. So our church vision is this. It's changing lives. We're talking about an individual person. Transforming communities. We're talking about how we impact the local town that we're in. And impacting nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about the individual, we're talking about where we live, but we're also talking about the reach that we have. And that may be through missions, that may be through music, that may be through a number of different things. But the world now, it's like one global world. It's different than it was a generation ago. So that's our vision, and that's our vision that doesn't change. And every year that's our vision. But in a sense, each year we have themes, and this year our vision slash theme is about true disciples. And there's a couple of little points there I want to just talk to you about briefly. The first one is a holy discontent. What do I mean by that? If you're a Christian and you're here today and you've got a relationship with Jesus, I see that hand, brother. You might feel a bit more Christian than other people. But I don't know about you, but in a sense, I have a stirring within me which is called a holy discontent. And that means I'm not happy and content with everything that has happened, where everything where I'm at now that I've arrived and I've made it. Anyone else feel like that? So in a sense, we're giving glory to God for what He's done, for what He's doing, for everything that's happening in our lives. But if that's it, then you tend to stop and coast. So I want to encourage you that this year, being part of a true disciple is you don't sit and coast and stop and be content with where you're at. Even if you're in a good place, there's more. So a holy discontent is, it's a stirring within you that to want to press in, just like what's happening here, whether it's worship, whether it's all sorts of aspects of the Christian walk, a holy discontent is there's got to be more. A hunger for revival. Now, I was reading a book recently, and there was this quote that said, revival is not an option for Christians who hunger. It is not a option, it is the only option. Think about that for a minute. It's the only option. So I think the natural thing that flows on from a holy discontent is a hunger for revival. Another thing I read was, you know where revival begins? In the prayer meeting. I really want to encourage you and stir you that all this flows out of a desire and a stirring within you to have an intimacy with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, that flows out of your personal time. But there's something extra about getting together corporately when people hunger and fast and pray for God to move. Then you just don't feel like it's you on your own. There's something about corporately doing that. So I encourage you, you know, depending on times and days and where you're at and work and all that, but there are opportunities for you to be involved. And the third thing is to reproduce yourself. See, when Jesus left this earth, the last thing he said to his disciples was, therefore go and make. So all this stuff that we're talking about, it's about us growing and developing an intimacy, and but it's not just for us. It's not just for us to feel good. It's not just for us to deepen our relationship with Lord. The product that comes out of that is we make disciples. And I encourage you to have a mindset this year of reproducing yourself. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So sometimes we can feel that, well, you know, I haven't made it yet, so what can I do? I'll tell you what, if you're one step in front of your friend or someone else, then you've got plenty to offer. And I encourage you this year not only to have understand what a holy discontent is, a stirring within you, but to take that further, to have a hunger for revival. Because what does revival mean? It's about reviving the church. It's about reviving hearts. It's about seeing backsliders come back. It's about seeing a community transform. And that equals people being saved, sold out, discipled. Not just a decision. So think about, how can I reproduce myself? What are the people that I have connections with? What could that lead to, the opportunities that I have? See, every day, 366 days this year, should not be getting out of bed on the wrong side of the bed and having a bad attitude. It should be, God, what opportunities could I have today in you? Amen. So, now our next slide. This is the 3 a.m. this morning slide. Last year, probably the second half of last year, as a church, we went through some things. We had a run of funerals. And I know that people grieve in different ways, in different time. Everyone can go through something differently. Towards the end of last year, there was just a lot of health issues going on with people. There was a number of court cases that some of us were involved with. There was just a lot happening. And then you get to the end of the year where you know, it's time to stop and relax and refresh, and half of Australia is on fire. Lives were lost, properties were lost. Even people that didn't lose their houses have been living on the edge for like 2 months. Will we get evacuated tonight? Living like that. I want to address that right now. Who knows, with everything that's going on, we need some good news. So the Good News Translation says this about Isaiah 61, 1 to 4. This was also the same passage that Jesus spoke from in the New Testament, in Luke 4. Isaiah said this, "The Sovereign Lord has filled me with His Spirit." Anyone relate to that? "He has chosen me and sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and to announce and release to the captives and freedom to those in prison. He has sent me to proclaim that the time has come when the Lord will save His people and defeat their enemies. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn." I believe this is a word for us as a church, but particularly for some individuals. "To give those who mourn in Zion joy and gladness instead of grief." Joy and gladness instead of grief. "A song of praise instead of sorrow. They will be like trees that the Lord Himself has planted. They will do what is right And God will be praised for what he has done. And it ends like this in verse 4. They will rebuild cities that have long been in ruin. And if you look around the city, spiritually, it's in ruin. I want to proclaim this morning, it's time for joy and gladness to replace grief. It's time for joy and gladness to replace a spirit of heaviness. And does that mean that you still won't be going through things or things still won't happen? No, it's not at all. But I believe it's time for some good news. It's time for some joy. It's time for some gladness. It's time for some things that have been really weighing people down. It's time for that to lift and to see that in a new light and a new way and for healing to flow. Amen. Would you please stand with me as we pray together? I just want to pray this over you as an individual, over us as a congregation. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, everything that happened in 2019, Lord, Father, the things that have affected people, Lord, and just the weight that has caused upon people, upon individuals, upon our church in a sense, Lord. Father, I just speak right now into those situations, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, where there's grief, where there's hurt, where there's sorrow, where there's heaviness. Right now, Lord, a refreshing would come, just like a cloud that would fall upon this congregation, in this room, upon individual lives, upon even family members or part of this congregation that are not here today. Lord, that there would just be a shift. Right now, Lord, there'd be a shift. There'd be a difference. There'd be a change. Holy Spirit, that you're causing, Lord, heaviness and pain to lift and healing and refreshing to flow in the name of Jesus. Lord, that I pray that people would now look into a new year with a new mindset, understanding and knowing that you're with them and you'll never leave them nor forsake them and whatever they go through, Lord. But Lord, there's something happening in the spiritual realm today that's causing a shift and a change and a refreshing and a healing and a wholeness and, in a sense, a strength to deal with whatever life may throw at them. And as a church, Lord, I pray, Lord, from today forth, there's a shift, there's a difference, there's a change, Lord, and we've already experienced that this morning. But Lord, I just speak it over our church and I prophesy it over our church in the name of Jesus. 2020 is a different year. It's a year of moving forward. It's a year of growth. It's a year of, Lord, seeing things happen that we haven't seen before. Lord, it's a... Lord, in a sense, we're hungering after you. We're hungering for revival to be ushered in. Hallelujah. So Holy Spirit, I pray right now, just work in hearts. Work in hearts and continue to do that in the coming days and weeks, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, bless you. Please be seated. Okay, so my sermon, and it's just going to be short this morning because we've had other things to look at. True disciples. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Mark. It's going to be up on the screen there, Mark chapter 3. So true disciples, and I'm going to look at Jesus when he actually chose his 12 disciples, his 12 apostles. So sorry if I turn my back to you, my screen's frozen, so I'll just read from here. So Jesus went up on the mountainside, and he called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. And to have authority to drive out demons. And these are the 12 that he appointed. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now, the first thing I want you to look at is Jesus went up onto the mountainside, and in one of the other Gospels, it talks about that he prayed through the night. Have you ever had a major decision that you've had to make? I think probably outside of the decision that you make to follow Christ and become a Christian, there's other major decisions in your life that change the course of your life, like who you're going to marry, your career choice, and other major decisions that you have throughout your life. And we don't flippantly want to just work off a good idea. You know, I encourage you always to be seeking the Lord in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you to make the right decision, to have a real peace. And Jesus is making, this is a huge decision in the course of history, because he's picking 12 men that when he goes and the Holy Spirit comes, that they are the early church. And Christianity is going to flow out of these men and what happens. So this is a huge decision. And yet, so he prays and he comes back and he chooses these guys. And in reality, if we were to do the same thing now, we probably wouldn't choose any of them. Because none of them, in a sense, were in a church and full of integrity and people that we know and trust. But he chose these men after praying. Our next slide. And here they are. Would you choose them? I mean, look at those hairdos. There they were. What a bunch. These are the men that really the eternity and Christianity of the early church and where it's all birthed from rests on these guys. Next slide. If you look at this same passage in Matthew, Matthew sort of doesn't spend as much time on it. He says this in verse 2 of chapter 10. These are the names of the 12 apostles. And he lists them all there. And when he gets to Matthew, Matthew's the tax collector. He sort of slips that one in there. That's his title. And the other one is Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So you've got to think that this is Matthew writing this gospel about 30 years after the death of Christ, and he's looking back. So he knows that Judas is going to betray him. And in fact, Jesus knew beforehand. Matthew knew after. So I want to focus in on two disciples and spend a few minutes just looking at them. And they are Matthew and they are Judas. And our next slide. So first of all, we're going to talk about Matthew the tax collector. Matthew was a dishonest tax collector driven by greed until he met Jesus. And he was chosen to be a disciple in Capernaum. So he left his tax booth and followed Jesus. And there was no sort of hesitation. He just left everything. He followed him. In fact, Jesus went with him and had a party at his house that night where all the Pharisees and the tax collectors and people were gathering. And there was a lot of religious people that frowned upon what was happening. And yet Jesus chose Matthew. Matthew's name actually means the gift of God. So it's like he chooses Matthew, a tax collector who is despised by his fellow Jews because he's basically extorting money out of them. And often tax collectors would take more than they were supposed to, but because it was backed by the Romans and the guards, no one would dare to say anything. That was the type of guy Matthew was. And yet Jesus chooses him. And when he chooses him, he just leaves everything. He saw something in Jesus that he was prepared to leave everything behind. Despite his sinful past, he chose to follow Jesus. And his diligence and accuracy in the job that he learnt flowed into years later when he wrote his gospel that the world has the opportunity to read and share all these centuries later. Matthew displayed a radically changed life in his response to invitation from Jesus. He did not hesitate. He did not look back. He abandoned the pleasures of the world and all the money and the greed and everything and the whole lifestyle that he had previously. And Matthew left it all behind. He followed Jesus. He was a changed man. He may not have understood everything. He may not have tried to work everything out and had all these questions. Who knows? And even up to the point where Jesus said he was going to die and rise again, you know, the disciples still weren't sure what was happening. And when that did happen, they scattered, and yet they reformed. And when the Holy Spirit fell, these were the guys that started the early church. Legend says that Matthew died as a martyr for the cause of Christ and that he died in Ethiopia. So he didn't shrink back. He went on and he was willing to die for Jesus. Matthew was a changed man. He was a tax collector and his life was changed when he met Jesus. And the good news about that is that every one of us can be in the exact same boat. We have a past. We have done things in our lives that we may not be proud of, that we really don't want to become public or to be shared. And yet we have the opportunity, to, like Matthew, to leave that in the past, to come into a relationship with Jesus and be a changed person. Isn't that good news? Whereas Judas is the other disciple that I want to focus on for a couple of minutes. And it's a different outcome. Judas' name means, let God be praised. Judas was a guy that we don't really know anything about his past before Jesus called him. But what we do know is that once he became a disciple and was following Jesus, the Bible records that he became the treasurer of the disciples. It also says that he was in charge of the money bag and he used to help himself. And then when that scene where Jesus is about to be anointed by this alabaster box of perfume that's worth so much money, and the disciples object, saying that this money could be used for the poor. It was like, well, Judas had other motives in that. And then what happens? When Jesus starts to talk about himself going to die, you see, many of the disciples wanted Jesus to come and set up his kingdom on earth and to get them out from under Roman rule. And so there was a lot of confusion happening. Straight after that scene where the perfume is used and there's this objection, Judas goes to the chief priests about, what will you give me if I betray him? And they make a deal, 30 pieces of silver. So once again, the treasurer who's helping himself, who's looking after the money. You see, he met Jesus, but there was still an issue that he never dealt with. There was greed. Matthew, who had the greed, was totally radically changed. Judas wasn't. And his greed, ultimately, he was willing for money to betray the Son of God, an innocent man, for his own personal gain. And yet the Word tells us that after it happened, there was so much regret and remorse that he went out and he hung himself. So let's summarize that by this next slide. Matthew, he once was lost. He was the tax collector living in sin, a greedy man, extorting people. When he met Jesus, he was found and his life changed forever to the point where he was willing to die for his Savior. Judas was lost, but He once was found, but then he became lost again because he didn't change. He didn't take that life-changing period where he's with Jesus, and he could have been with the 12, but he didn't. He chose to give in to the temptations of the world and put his own personal gain and greed before his relationship with Jesus. Next slide, please. I'm going to ask the communion ushers if they'd like to bring in the emblems, please. I want to just share this with you. This is a picture, a table of the disciples and what happened to them at the end of their life. So James, you know how we're talking about good news? We're going to digress just for a minute here. James was stabbed with a sword. Jude was filled with arrows. Philip was crucified by soldiers. Thomas was thrust with a spear. Matthew was crucified in Judea. James the Less was stoned to death. Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified the same as Jesus. John died a natural death, but we've learnt that when he was on the Isle of Patmos as an old man and he received the book of Revelation, he was actually, dying because of the hard labour. So even though he died a natural death, he wasn't on an island having a holiday. Paul was beheaded in Rome. So we got a couple of the apostles that were added after the 12. Simon was stabbed with a sword. Bartholomew was crucified. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Matthias was crucified in Judea. And Judas committed suicide. Our next slide. So as we come to a time of communion, communion is a sobering time. It's a time where we remember what Jesus did and we give thanks because he's given us, just like those disciples, the opportunity to leave an old life where sin had separated them from a holy God. And we, 2,000 years on, have that same wonderful opportunity to be here remembering what Jesus did by his death and resurrection on the cross, to really fully understand today as we hold these emblems in our hand that he's given us this opportunity to leave that old life behind, to come in relationship with a living God where sin no longer is the separation between us. But I want to encourage you today that as we're holding these emblems, today's message is all about what is a true disciple. And this great scripture here, which talks about, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And all those disciples, apart from John, were martyred for their faith. They were so changed by their impact with Jesus in their lives that they were, not only were they willing to lay down, you know, their desires and their previous life, but they were willing to lay down their life for him, just like he laid down his life for them. And we sit here in Australia today that is a totally different scene and place from that. And, you know, and we probably think, oh, I would never have to die for Christ. The reality is people are dying all around the world as martyrs every day. And who knows if that would ever change and if any of us would ever have to physically die for him. But we have to die to self. And I want to encourage you today to take up your cross. As you hold these emblems, let's get a full revelation and understanding what it means to be a true disciple. And that means to take up your cross and deny yourself and lay down your desires and what you want to achieve in life and ask him, what is the plan for your life? And you know what? That's not a bad thing. It's not like I've got to give all this stuff up to be a Christian. No, actually, he places desires in you, and then your desires line up with his will, and is the most amazing life that you will ever lead, and the best decision that you will ever make is to follow Jesus. Amen? So that is good news. That is great news, because you can impact everyone around you, your life can matter so much. And that was the difference between Matthew and Judas. That's Matthew, in a sense, like the other guys, was a true disciple. And Judas failed to understand that and went his own way. So as we hold the emblems, I just pray today that we have a full realization and understanding what Jesus did for us and what it means to be a true disciple. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for these emblems that we hold in our hands today, which represent your broken body and your shed blood. And Lord, I pray today and thank you for what you did for us. And Lord, because what you've done for us and we've accepted you for those that have, Lord, and we grow in our understanding and our relationship with you, Lord. Lord, that we're on this journey of becoming true disciples of you. And we bless you for that in Jesus' name. So let's eat and drink together. So as the band comes, and we just put that last slide up. Thanks, Patrick. We're going to close our service. And we're going to open the front for prayer. And if you'd like to respond to what's been said today, maybe God's stirring something within your heart, or maybe you need healing, or maybe you need someone to come out and stand with you. And we're going to expand what we've been talking about as we move forward. Some of those points on Vision Sunday. We're going to talk more about them in future weeks. But I just want to leave you with this one thought. What does a true disciple look like? And then shine the light in on your life and say, how am I doing? How am I doing? And if the Holy Spirit speaks to you about maybe some things in your life that you need to offer up to him or change some direction, then I pray that we run with that. Amen. All right, bless you. Let's all stand.